Pacifico, Phil Hendrick.
The rifle sights are produced by the Trijicon Company of Wixom, Michigan, which has almost $1 billion in
Pentagon. In 48 hours, the U.S. Army could probably set up 100,000.
It was tough enough getting it to the airport, but now getting it from the airport out to the individuals.
For argument's sake, she loses. Let's just assume that for a moment.
You brought a loaded gun. Was your gun loaded tonight?
We must be ready all the time for the atomic bomb.
Famous Phil Hendrick Show to 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about every night. We give you not only the way it is, but the way it looks through the looking glass a little bit. Now, this hour we have Professor Emery Clayton, who'll be joining us to talk about the rate of adoptions occurring from Haiti to America. There's a great many children without parents, orphaned, and not necessarily by the earthquake. This is ongoing. A lot of poverty in that country, to say the least, and an awful lot of families who have opted to adopt children from Haiti. Now, the exact numbers, perhaps the professor will have, and we're going to talk with him about that here in just a second. I want to remind you, you can go to our website, philhendryshow.com, to take a look at our live streaming video, and as well as listen to the live streaming audio, philhendryshow.com. We also have an archive of all of our shows. Going back many, many years, I mean, generations of Phil Hendrick shows, I mean, talking 10, 15 years in some cases, and we have our five-day video archive as well, so you can watch all of that. Joining us from L.A. Canyon College, Professor Emery Clayton, and Professor, thanks to you for joining us this evening, talking about this terrible situation in Haiti.
It's my pleasure, Phil. Thank you for having me on your program.
Let's talk about the earthquake, and we can talk about a lot when it comes to the suffering of the people there, the children, and the children left without parents because of the earthquake, and the numbers of children that are being adopted. Do you happen to have a rough figure?
Well, I know that it runs into, in some instances, it has run into the about hundreds, if not thousands, of these young Afro-Carib children that are being brought into the United States by families that have varying desires for enhancing their family, for helping, obviously, a child in need, and for creating for themselves an economic opportunity. And what I mean by that is once you bring the young Afro-Carib child into the United States, you bring in another potential worker, and that for a individual with a capitalist mind, and I'm speaking as a socialist, that is what my orientation, my political orientation is. I'm not trying to start an argument, but I do not, I don't shy away from telling people that I am a dyed-in-the-wool socialist.
All right, well, from that standpoint, what do you mean they're bringing children into the country as an employment opportunity?
Well, I suspect when I look at the numbers of Haitian children that are being adopted into the United States, I'm troubled. Quite frankly, I'm troubled because these are Afro-Carib children that are being adopted by primarily white families. And you know, as well as I do, and I think your listeners would concur, that adopted children are never loved as much as blood children. Now, when you take a baby that is of an extremely different shade, a different color altogether, if you have two adopted, one's white and one is black, one is a white Anglo-Saxon child from an orphanage in the United States, the other dark from an Afro-Carib slum, and both children are not loved as much as the blood children, well, which one is going to be loved less of the adopted? You have to go down in terms of gradation, in terms of the color. You go from white down to dark, loved and less loved. And
well, that is assuming an awful lot, isn't it? I mean, why would people adopt these children if they didn't have some desire to help these kids?
I'm not saying they don't have any desire to help these kids. I'm not saying that at all. But you also have to look at the larger issue for a great many whites that adopt these Afro-Carib children. In many instances, these Afro-Carib children are a badge of honor. These white families can parade the little dark baby whether it be out in the park or whether it be at a party, at a coffee clutch or a Tupperware party or something like this, and they can say, oh, is this the baby you adopted? They'll say, yes, it is. So that's the black one that I heard so much about. It's a conversation piece. And I can tell you, Mr. Henry, as a professor of political science and social studies and African studies, I don't want our young black children becoming conversation pieces and becoming knickknacks sitting on a coffee table that people can discuss. I want to make sure that these children are put into proper homes where they are loved and nurtured and not trotted out in the middle of a Tupperware party to say, look what I picked up in the Caribbean.
Boy, the cynicism, with all due respect, sir.
I'm not cynical at all. I have a great deal of love for the human race.
No, but the cynicism in your voice, you are taking the phenomenon of adoption, even though it crosses racial lines, and you're attributing to it this ulterior motive having to do with a badge of honor. Having to do with enhancing economics. I didn't understand that one.
Let me explain it to you then.
Well, enhancing economics, and there is the other one was, I don't know. It just.
Well, let me explain it, because it doesn't sound to me as if you were listening very carefully, Phil. I said, when you bring a new black Afro-Carib baby into the United States, you have created yet one more individual to be a part of the working class, yes, maybe the working underclass. But this country has never been able to move very far without a relatively semi-educated working underclass. And by bringing these Afro-Carib babies into this country, in 18 years, you have just produced another member of this semi-literate working underclass. And
well, wait, what about the people that are educating
them? I'm not finished. Hold on for a minute. I'll get to your question.
What about these families that are educating them?
I said I'm not finished. I'll get to your question. You take an Afro-Carib baby from an island like Haiti, which, of course, has a history of colonialism and imperialism, was created, in point of fact, by the colonial power of France, and it was a black general that drove the whites off back in the early part of the 19th century through a slave revolt, and it became the very first independent, democratically ruled country by Afro-Carib people. Within the next few decades, the entire situation changed, and now we've got to import these blacks into our country, and I say blacks, I mean the Afro-Carib baby, so that they become a part of the permanent working underclass or a conversation piece at a baby shower. That's the part that I don't like.
So these babies that are being adopted into the United States, I think I would have to guess here, Professor, this is not a good thing.
I did not say that it wasn't a good thing.
Well, what you're saying is, yeah, every single thing that you've said to me about the adoption of these Haitian babies into the United States has been a negative.
I'm not saying that at all, Phil. And I really resent you twisting my words.
No, you've said that it's a conversation piece at a Tupperware party, or it's going to be a permanent working underclass member, something like that.
Let me say what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the following. I'm an African-American born in a great country, but recognizing the tendency of this country toward its imperialist roots. Now, America, like any capitalist country, is going to always be drawn to the sun, the sunlight, the warmth, and the vitamin D of imperialism. And hence, when you have an Afro-Carib baby, and you're bringing them in by the bushel, and you're bringing them in, and you're bringing them in, you're flying them in, you've got an airlift of Afro-Carib babies, sooner or later, it dawns on the ruling elite, we've got ourselves a ready-made workforce here. I mean, what's it going to take? A kick in the teeth? Take a look at it. I've been airlifting in Afro-Carib babies. I have a permanent working underclass of semi-literate French-speaking blacks that I can use. Now, that's the worst-case scenario.
That's the worst-case scenario, and it's also not taking into consideration anything having to do with the families that they come from.
I'm not saying they wouldn't come from good families. I'm not saying that at all, but most of these children are going to white families.
And all right, so is that the problem?
Is what the problem? It's going to the white family?
Yes.
I'm saying that it would be better if they went to black families. I don't see any percentage in these young Haitian babies who are adopted. And as you know, adopted children are never loved as much as blood children.
Yeah, you said that.
All right. Now you've got an adopted black one. How loved do you think that kid's going to be? You've already got an adopted white kid. He's not loved all that much. Now here comes the black one, and they're flush out of love. They're fresh out of love.
All right, Professor Emory Clayton joining us. I didn't mean to hang up on him, but we got to take a break. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about the adoption of Haitian babies here in the United States. And that last comment that he made about it would be better if black families were adopting them. I don't know, maybe he's right about that. But the whole phenomenon, as far as he is concerned, is...
Well, he's trying to make people look like they're special.
Yeah, like people want to adopt a black kid, so he's a conversation piece. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with more from Professor Emory Clayton here on the adoption of Haitian babies here into the United States. And we'll take some of your phone calls as well when we return. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're talking here with Professor Emory Clayton about the adoption of Haitian babies. What were the numbers again?
The 900. 900 that have already been adopted but haven't been brought into the United States. 53 have been brought to the U.S. thus far. And I'm very troubled, as you know, Phil, by the adoption of Afro-Caribbean babies into white families. I'm not saying the white families would not care for them, but I think there is a social... and racial reality, and
but we talk about loving a child.
You know, Phil, excuse me, but you are not as educated on the racial politics as I am, and I'm tempted, and I say this with the greatest of respect for you, but I'm tempted to refer to you as boy, and the reason why is because your knowledge is not of a level where I would say Phil. So boy.
I don't like being called boy if you're trying to be funny.
No, I'm not trying to be funny, but you are arguing with me about the viability of an Afro-Carib sitting in the middle of a white nuclear unit, and I'm telling you that that child will become nothing more than a conversation piece at a barbecue. And for me...
Well, that's just... I don't know how you make a statement like that. I don't know how you can actually generalize like that and say the reason why white people are adopting black kids is because it's a conversation piece, and that's just how it is, and I'm Professor Emory Clayton.
No, I didn't say that. I said that my education is a higher level than you. That's why I said, hey, boy, you didn't want me to call you that. All right.
Well, we don't have. That's got nothing to do with whether I'm, you know, want to call me boy or something. I'm talking about you and your comments that black babies being adopted into white families in America are conversation pieces.
I'm saying I want to offset the possibility by ensuring that either these Afro-Carib babies land in the middle of a black unit or are otherwise placed responsibly so that they do not become fodder for the white ruling elite, semi-literate working underclass. That's what I'm saying. Or a conversation starter at some kind of a 4 p.m. tea, where the women wear the hats, and I'm sure you understand. And they want to get a conversation going.
I understand what you're talking about, that these babies are nothing more than some sort of a status symbol. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Richard. Richard in Concord, New Hampshire. You're on with Professor Emory Clayton. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, how's it going?
I didn't finish my comment.
Well, I want to talk to this gentleman, Richard. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, I'm a white man in New Hampshire, and just wanted to make it simple that basically when you generalize the intentions of all white people who intend to adopt a black kid, it's just simply racist. And I feel like you're being very elitist, using your education level against people who just have good intentions. You know, if you think, you know, 1 in 100 people that are white have bad intentions and you want to generalize about them all, it's reverse racism, my friend.
Well, I can tell you that as an African-American man, I think I know a little bit more, Richard, about racism than you do, because I've been the recipient of this. And I don't want to call you boy like I call Phil boy, but your understanding of racial politics is on the boy level. And
let's get rid of boy, okay?
It's because of your misunderstanding.
But this gentleman made the point that love is love. And to say that an individual white family adopting a black child must have ulterior motives having to do with a status symbol, isn't that racist?
Well, I will tell you that black people, by definition, cannot be racist because we don't have the power in society to be racist. Racist is about power, boy. All right?
I don't like being called boy. I told you that.
No, it's nothing personal. It's a statement.
No, whether it's a statement of the education level that I have on this, I don't care.
But black people cannot be racist. Impossible. Because of the fact that we... What?
Can I throw in one last comment?
Go ahead.
All right. Just to finalize, any ice that ever gets broken by electing a black president... Man, you just add to the thickness of racism beyond what I can imagine.
I don't understand what you're talking about, and you've lowered yourself to the level of boy now. You know. And to
well,
me,
okay, that's an ignorant comment. 877-876-PHIL. What do you mean by boy? I don't like that. Nobody wants to be called that. You don't want to be called that.
No, but it's a representation. It is a symbol of what your education level is. I have no choice. You give me no choice. When I say to you that an Afro-Caribbean baby dropped into the center of a white nuclear swirling unit becomes a fodder for the semi-literate working underclass or a conversation starter at a omelet party.
Yeah?
You don't understand.
No, man, I don't.
No, man, I don't. So you call me man, but you got a problem with me calling you boy. You may find this funny.
No, I find it ridiculous that we have to go to these ridiculous extremes and these ridiculous places when we're talking about orphans, children that need help. Would you agree that they need help?
Of course they need help. They need the right kind of help. And to drop a black unit into the middle of a continually in motion white unit or machine will dilute the black so that there is a cocoa color. You understand?
No, I don't understand. I don't understand.
I'm talking in terms of the political and racial effects.
Oh, okay. I guess, but I don't understand why the comparisons constantly in terms of race. Here is Victor. Go ahead, Victor. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. I just wanted to say hello to Professor Emmy Clayton, and I'm a boy, and you, sir, well, you're insane. And I can tell by your arguments that you've obviously neglected to attend an ethics class. And I disagree with you completely. I mean, the adoption of Haitian children in the United States, regardless of your academic accomplishments, sir, are theories, and they're merely that, theories. Shouldn't you be happy that they're even given the opportunity to live a better life?
Well, I don't know what kind of homes these children are going to be in. What kind of homes are they going to be in? Are these black Afro-Caribbean babies going to be conversation starters at omelet parties? What's that?
Adobe homes. What are you talking about? I mean, to be adopted alone and to be helped is should be more than enough satisfaction for you and the Haitian people. I mean,
I don't know if that child is an Afro-Caribbean baby growing up to be self-loathing.
As to show up the Joneses, like to keep up with the neighbors, to say that America's capable of doing something like that on a large scale is completely ridiculous. That may happen.
What is that?
And, ordinarily, I'm talking about the fact that young
Afro-Caribbean babies may be trained to continue to feed the golem of the capitalist machine.
Look, if your socialist politics, which you very readily admit to, if that's what's driving your opinion of adoption in America, I would submit, perhaps Victor would too, that you're skewing this thing politically, man, and you don't want to see it from a humanistic point of view.
And there you go again with man, but you don't want me calling you boy.
No, I'm calling you man. You don't have to call me boy. All right, anyway, thank you, Victor, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Professor Emery Clayton. Man, are we going out into outer space? We're all we're trying to talk about here are the adoptions going on of Haitian children to the United States. Professor Emery Clayton back with us. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Thank you, boy.
Phil Henry.
Hey, boy.
World famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. And on the line, Professor Emery Clayton, as we continue to talk about the number of Haitian babies being adopted into the United States. There were 53 Haitian orphans flown into the U.S. today. Much of this news is coming to us by virtue of the fact that this earthquake took place, Professor, because these adoptions have been ongoing.
That is correct. That is my information, my understanding. 900 orphans have already been adopted, but have not been brought into the United States yet. The earthquake, if anything, has focused a white-hot spotlight on the attractiveness of adopting these Afro-Caribbean babies. I refuse to call them so-called Haitian babies because that is a colonialist term, regardless of the origins of the slave revolt and the ensuing republic. These are Afro-Caribbean babies, and they are coming to the United States for a variety of reasons. Now, let me say this. If you adopt a young Afro-Caribbean baby and you are white, and you've got a black, and the child says, I would like to return to Haiti because I want to see my parents, I want to see my family, I want to see my kinsmen, and I want to see the land of my birth. And that child is happier juggling for tourists on a dock someplace as they get off a cruise ship than he would ever be living in your split-level ranch home, then I think you have to accept that.
And when is that going to happen?
I beg your pardon?
When is that going to happen? You know, I know a family that adopted a black child from Ethiopia. That child did exactly what you said, went back, saw his parents, wanted to see the land of his birth, wanted to see his roots, wanted to see his family, and couldn't wait to get back to the States to his adopted family.
That kid was Ethiopian, right?
Yeah.
Whole different ballgame. I'm talking about Afro-Caribbean. You're getting off into... Forget about Africa for 5 seconds. We're talking about the Caribbean. Islands. Water. A different mindset.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to some phone calls. We have Suzanne in San Diego. Suzanne, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Professor Emery Clayton. Go ahead.
Hi, Professor. With all due respect, I think you're out of your mind. I have a 16-year-old child that I adopted from Africa. Whether you think Africa, Carib, or whatever is different than an African child has absolutely no bearing. I don't care if they're surrounded by land or if they're surrounded by water. We are white people who took on this child when she was 2. She's 16 now. We've taken her back to her land of origin. I mean, who do you think
you
are?
She wanted to see the land of origin, didn't she? She wanted to see her people.
No, we offered. No. You don't know anything about us, sir. Don't jump to conclusions. No. Don't jump to conclusions. You don't know anything about us. We raised her with her knowing about her heritage. We raised her knowing that we wanted to take her back. We wanted to take her back to be reunited with her people. And it was a rich, beautiful, wonderful experience. What?
And what if she wanted to stay with them and say, I would rather live here among the chieftains and the high grass than to go back with you to San Diego?
She wouldn't, because we are her family. We are her. We are all she knows.
What if she said, no, I'd really like to stay?
Well, she didn't. I mean, what is with the hypothetical here, doctor?
I mean, that's insane, doctor. No child would. I don't care if I adopted a child from Atlanta, Georgia, and she would never want to go back. We are her family. That's what adoption is.
Uh-huh.
They become yours.
So you're saying that Atlanta, Georgia represents a black colony to you?
No,
why did you say Atlanta? You say that there's a lot of Afro-Caribbean babies there.
No. You're talking about distance geography.
Atlanta is coal black in your mind.
No, she didn't say that at all.
That's not what I said. Professor, you were accusing the previous caller of being a racist, and you were saying that there's no way you could be because of the color of your skin. You're out of your mind.
I'm black.
You're the most unbelievable racist I have ever seen in my life.
How can I be a racist when I don't have the power that you have?
You are so prejudiced.
I'm prejudiced. I could... Is the lady still there? Is the lady still there?
I think she hung up on you. She's very, very angry.
What is she angry about? She's the one that's got the black kid. And damn, she's going to use that chap. See, she hung up. I can hear the dial tone coming. Now, I didn't have the opportunity to ask her if she trotted that child out at omelet parties.
You know what? I don't think that is respectful. I can understand her anger, and I wish that you would not say that. If people say, I adopted the child out of love, then accept them for what they're saying.
I don't do that, Phil. An academic doesn't do that. An academic looks at the facts. And once you look at the facts, and you see how the, as they say, how the chips fall where they may, right? As Buffalo Bill used to say, that's what I look at. And if I'm looking at an Afro-Caribbean child that is far happier juggling and selling Aztec calendars to tourists than he would ever be at a water park in America, then I have to accept that.
What child have you ever met that would much prefer to be back in Haiti living in poverty than at a water park in America? Here is Joe in Greenville, North Carolina. Joe, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Emery Clayton.
Yes, Phil. This is the first time I've actually called a radio station. I've been listening to your radio station for about an hour, and I must say you have some characters on there. This one talking about the Haitian baby.
My name is Professor Emery Clayton, and you can speak to me directly. You don't have to talk about me as if I'm not here. I am a professor of African studies.
All right.
All right, Doctor. I apologize for that. I must say that so far, it sounds like you have a PhD in opinion. I have a friend who's actually with his wife that cannot conceive a baby.
I'll give you a round of applause on that. They can't conceive a baby, and so they've gone out and plucked a little black one from the ruins of a nation.
No. They did not pluck, okay? They are asking to receive some love from a baby who has nothing, and care for a baby.
If the baby has nothing, why are they asking it for love?
But what would you have them do at that point? Just have the baby stay there?
I wouldn't ask the baby for anything. They're asking a baby to give them, and the baby's fresh out of friends. So what more can the...
They're talking about loving the baby.
Well, he said they're asking a baby for love. I think it's a lot to put on a child, especially a black child from an impoverished Caribbean nation that has undergone a tragedy like this earthquake. 700,000. We don't know what the death toll will be. It could run into the tens of millions of
including,
people buried under
including,
rubble.
Sir, including babies. Including parents, in which babies are being left with no parents. Am I right?
Babies are left with no parents.
So what is wrong?
I would love to see the Afro baby adopted into an Afro family in America.
Doctor.
I'm a professor.
All right,
okay,
so
professor.
Let's wrap up here.
Professor. All right. If a white family is okay with a black child and loves him or her just the same as if it were white, that is actually, that's a turning point for our nation right there.
And what if the kid's not okay with the family? See, you say if the family is all right with loving a black, but what if the black child is a little iffy on the family? He doesn't get a vote.
Okay, so the baby,
Afro-Caribbean child.
All right, look, I'm going to run on to another call. Thanks very much, sir, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. You're listening to people say, talk about love, and everything with you is political.
Everything with me is reality, Phil. Everything with me is reality.
What about love? Good old-fashioned love. Look at this child. I'm going to help this child. This child is hurt. This child needs a future. This child, I can do a lot for this child. What about that?
I think that is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. But you have to understand that before you get to the purity and the beauty of love, you have to sink down through the septic tank of ulterior motive. Love is a nice, dry, sweet-smelling spot at the very bottom of that septic tank. But you have to sink down through the all of that mess that comes out of the toilet, you know. And you've got to swim down through it. And what you're swimming down through is the omelet party. You know.
Yeah, all this stuff that you were telling me about in terms of the child being used as some sort of a trophy. And that's the part that you don't, and I, we're not connecting here.
You heard of a trophy wife. Why can't you have a trophy trophy babe or a trophy Afro-Caribbean baby?
What? It doesn't compute, man. Here is Greg in Salt Lake City. Greg, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Emery Clayton. Go ahead.
How you doing, fellas?
Yes, sir.
How are you, sir?
My statement, I'm doing great. My question is, it is based on love, for one thing, and how does a person justify white people not being able to adopt these children?
What's that?
I have enough black families that aren't willing to adopt these children. What are we supposed to do, just let them die in Haiti?
No, and not white at all. I think you have to give the opportunity of those families in Haiti to reconstitute themselves through various programs.
Wait. Are you
that's
saying
it's going to take years right now, right?
Years, perhaps.
It's going to take years for that country to rebuild itself.
Well, I don't know how long it took to build it in the first place. It didn't take very long for it to fall down. And I'm making a little bit of a joke.
The infrastructure is completely dead. You know that.
Right.
And I hate to put the word in, but it's going to be living as a welfare state for quite a long time until it can get back on its feet. But what I'm talking about right now.
See, there's that word. That's a racially
very small,
charged
very
word.
Small
welfare.
Children,
that's a racially
very
small charged
children,
word. Welfare.
Very small children right now may not have the opportunity
to wait for
this country to rebuild itself. And if I cannot father children, wish to adopt a child from Haiti, because I feel bad for the child and I love these children, I'm wrong for that because I'm white.
And you're wrong for that when you trot the child out along with a bowl of Doritos. If you bring that child out along with a bowl of Doritos and bean dip, yes.
Can I make my statement?
What? Say that again.
What I'm saying is, if you bring that child out after you've adopted that child, sir, along with a bowl of Doritos and bean dip, then yes, you are to be condemned. Because what you're doing is, you're using that child as a conversation starter at the beginning of a lingerie bowl. And to me, that's using a child.
Lingerie bowl? I don't understand where your ideology comes from. I'm not really sure what kind
ideology,
of ideology you've got.
I don't want our Afro-Caribbean children becoming curiosities, almost
I
as
want
if they were the elephant man.
To have a better life.
Right, a better life. Got nothing to do with being the elephant man.
I don't have a problem with giving them a better life infrastructure to reconstitute itself.
I'd rather those children die long
before that will ever happen.
I think it would be better if those children died of starvation than to be trotted out in the middle of an afternoon tea in a diaper and a banner that says 2010.
Oh, okay. So I couldn't just have the child come out and say, oh, by the way, this is my son.
Yeah, how about that?
How about what?
How about, I'd like to introduce you to my son.
Oh, sure. Okay. I'd like to introduce you to my son. Oh, which one? Oh, there he is, the black one.
It doesn't matter.
You know, the cynicism's
unbelievable.
Listen, I thank you very much for your call.
You're the only person, okay.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
I'm the only person that is pointing out the fact that, you know, bringing your kid out in a diaper with a banner that says 2010, that's sketchy.
What does that mean?
You know how that baby, the new year, the baby.
Oh, okay. All right. Anyway, thank you very much, sir, for your call. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Thank you, Professor Clayton, for your asinine series of comments. I thought we were going to have a serious discussion on, you know, Haitian babies getting adopted. And the last thing I hear is trotting the kid out with a bowl of Doritos and bean dip. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey boy, is that it?
This is the world famous
Bill Hendry Show.
You do a hit on my face.
You gotta keep them separated.
It's the Bill Hendry Show.
A former Hamilton County Cincinnati morgue employee is held on $700,000 cash bond accused of having sex with a corpse. While on the job some 25 years ago. Oh,
Yeah, ain't there a like limitation of it?
Yeah, I was going to say the statute of limitation. 55-year-old Kenneth Douglas faces a charge of gross abuse of a corpse.
What they will do is they will engage, put themselves in position to engage in sexual acts with people who can't resist. Mm-hmm. And this is one form of that. A dead person certainly can't resist. And they can go into their mind and fantasize whatever they want to fantasize in a very bizarre, obviously, way.
Apparently, there was a local 12 news crew in Cincinnati, Channel 12 of Cincinnati, that was there getting these comments. That's Dr. Scott Bressler. He's a forensic psychiatrist explaining the appeal of a corpse to a necrophiliac. Now, they had a crew there at the courthouse when this Kenneth Douglas made his first appearance before Judge William Mallory at 9 a.m. In the hearing, prosecutors said they believe Douglas had other victims, and they are investigating more cases. They said his bond at $700,000 cash. Boy, that seems pretty steep. Anyway, the charge dates back to August of 1982 when door-to-door salesman David Steffen killed Karen Range at her home. Steffen confessed to the murder but denied raping Range. He was sent to Ohio's death row. Douglas was in charge of checking Range's body into the morgue, and prosecutors allege that that duty gave Douglas the opportunity to have sex with Range's body. It wasn't until now, until the now 55-year-old Douglas was arrested in March on drug charges, that a DNA sample was taken and linked him to this. Oh, God. Anyway, here is Dr. Stuart Baseman, a psychologist. He describes necrophilia and how much fun it can be.
It's all in their mind. To a great extent, it's the same thing with pornography. The person in their mind is creating an imaginary fantasy relationship. In their mind, they believe they're doing something very innocent. Most of the time, they believe they're doing something that's not really hurting someone.
And we have this just in, Phil.
What?
The doctor says there are other victims, but they're not talking. That is a good one, isn't it?
It's moderately funny, yeah.
There's other victims, but they're not talking.
Very good, bud. Very good. All right.
There's other victims, but...
I got it already, but they're not talking. Now, also today, Hamilton County Coroner Odell Owens held a news conference on the case. Owens says that although the incident happened many years before he took office, when he heard the allegations, I nearly fell to the ground. That's the worst thing that can happen in a coroner's office, other than the fact that they could be stealing my stash and shooting it in a can. That's pretty bad, but I don't want to go into that, said Owens as he drifted off to sleep. Owens says currently all morgue employees are required to give a DNA sample and that there are more stringent security measures in place to prevent such acts. Cameras now record all interaction between morgue employees and bodies, and some of them are for sale on the Internet. Owens says that he told Douglas, he's been told that Douglas left his job with the morgue abruptly and later worked at the Jameson and Jameson Funeral Home. Owens said he told Douglas before he left, "Your career in this town is dead." "Ha, ha, 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 ha," he said, and then fell to the floor, realizing that he hadn't had his weekly injection. He also says his office has received phone calls from many people interested in taking advantage of some of the services offered at the... No, I mean, he received phone calls from concerned families, some of which expressed... I don't mean to laugh, but... You imagine a cat calling the coroner's office? "Wait a minute, my mother was there. I want to find out, did this guy do my mother too?" "Well, sir, I can't. I want to know." You imagine the guy there? "Yes, having sex with a corpse is hard for many to understand. But to help us understand, here is Bill Rothschild, our 7 on the line reporter. Bill, well, you know, having sex with a corpse can be a recuperative act, something that can actually lead to a more fulfilling lifestyle. Here I am at the Douglas County Morgue. Now, you'll see about 6 drawers here have been pulled out."
That's sick.
Oh, knock it off. I'm having a little bit of a laugh. You mind?
Yeah, but you're talking about doing a dead man.
I didn't say doing a dead man. Oh, I see. So, in other words, it's okay to do a dead woman.
Well, that's understandable.
Are you trying to tell me now that it's sick to have sex with a dead male corpse, but not with a dead female corpse?
Yeah, because one's gay.
Well, first of all, being gay ain't sick. That's number one. Number two, if you're having sex with any dead body, it's sick. Equally sick.
Even if you, if a guy had sex with a dead lady and a guy had sex with a dead man, which is the worst one?
Both of them are sick. Both of them are sick.
No, but what's worse?
They're both bad.
Oh, are you kidding me? The other one's worse.
Why don't you get out of here, man, before I spill this entire jumbo Carl's Jr. Coke right down the back of that greasy leather jacket of yours. Get out of here. Here, give me a refill on that, will you?
Is that diet? Yeah, it should be.
Oh, isn't that funny, man?
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
You know, as an afterthought, after, like in hindsight, after the performance happened,
science is not reviewing. It is in.
No.
Stuart, quit saying that.
The debate is so
not over.
I think we'll find a way to pay for it. I don't know that it has to be a war tax, but I think we
want to play. Hand them out. Right now.
Where's my retarded baby?
Was he dressed as a male?
World-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And welcome to the program here. And this is the News Talk and Entertainment Show that knows what it's talking about, where reality is our bitch, and where, in point of fact, we take you through the looking glass, the Alice in Wonderland of talk radio, every night here from 10 on the Pacific Coast here until 1 to 4 East. And tonight we got Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier to talk about the Adam Lambert debacle, imbroglio, folderol, the contretemps, Adam Lambert, his Racy American Music Awards performance, in which at one point there was sort of a, what would you call it, bud?
You trying to scout?
Don't say that, okay?
You can't say
Don't you say it either. But he was trying to scout, beep, a guy. And then there was, in any event, Good Morning America has canceled the Adam Lambert concert. Google apologizes for a patently racist image of Michelle Obama. And it's like the number one searched image. And I can understand how people who are opposed to that kind of thing, I can't imagine anybody's in favor. I know people are in favor of free press. Even really, really lame and unfunny and 19th century free press, like, hey, I know, let's make a black person look like a gorilla. Oh, man's that cutting edge. I can understand people would defend that, but anybody that actually thinks it's funny, I don't know, man. I got to tell you, the longer I live, the less I know. You know how some people say the longer they live, the more they know, or the older and wiser? I'm older and dumber. Tell you that. You think it's funny, bud?
Well, you know, I don't agree with the people saying bad things, but it was pretty funny. Yeah, you are a racist, man. I am not.
No, you are. You are a racist.
I got a black girlfriend.
I don't care if you got a black girlfriend. You're a racist. So that, and then a man in a coma heard everything around him for 23 years. Guess what? No, he wasn't in a coma. Nice going, Doc. Anyway, we'll have all of that for you. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We're going to bring on Doug Danger here from the Orange County Courier to talk about the Adam Lambert sexually charged act that drew some complaints. Now, depending upon the news story that you read, you're going to hear that either they got like one email from someone that complained, or they got like 100 emails. I think they probably got 100 or plus emails complaining about this. Because there's actually another story of the L.A. Clippers broadcast team slammed some cat on, I guess, the Denver Nuggets or maybe the Clippers, who's from Iran. And that got one email complaint. However, that having been done, they still pulled him off the air because you can never tell. I get. All right, so here is a little bit of what happened at the American Music Awards. Backstage, Adam Lambert, and we'll play the song for you. You won't be able to see what happened. Here's Adam Lambert telling CNN that the man-on-man kiss was not planned.
You know, part of what I love about being a live performer is that sometimes you just are in the moment, and sometimes things just happen. Adrenaline is a crazy, crazy, crazy feeling, and it's one of the things that I love most about performing is when you're up there and all of a sudden you just have this feeling, this rush that comes over you, and things happen.
So Lambert says there is hypocrisy at play when women are allowed to do sexually suggestive performances, like when Britney Spears and Madonna kissed, although that wasn't exactly without comment and controversy. But Ben Kent,
you know, as an afterthought, after, like in hindsight, after the performance happened, I was just really in the moment, to be honest with you. But as an afterthought, I do feel like there's a bit of a double standard in the entertainment community, on television, on radio. I feel like women performers have been pushing the envelope sexually for the past 20 years, and all of a sudden a male does it, and everybody goes, oh, we can't show that on TV, and to me that's a form of discrimination, and it's a double standard, and that's too bad.
Actually, Madonna was in the audience, and she yelled,
"Burn in hell!"
But then she, you know, went back to her seat. Now, this is an excerpt from Lambert's performance of For Your Entertainment.
There's no way to ring the alarm.
Burn in hell.
So hold on until it's over.
Oh, crap.
Do you know what you got into? Can you handle what I'm about to do?
Burn in hell.
Cause it's about to get rough for you.
Rough. So you get the idea. That's Adam Lambert. Now, what happened was he did a lip lock, kind of a kiss with a fellow performer. Millions of viewers saw Lambert simulate oral sex as well with a backup dancer. He planted a passionate kiss on the mouth of a male keyboard player and gestured to the audience with his middle finger during the closing act of the Live Music Awards. So that was a very affectionate thing for him to do. Here is Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. I'm kidding, of course, Doug, about the... why did he flip the audience off, Doug?
I don't know. It's you heard Adam say it in the moment, and I guess that was in the moment, you know. He simulated oral sex. He did have the kissing scene there with the keyboard player. I don't know how you want me to address this.
Well, the reason why I brought you on is because you are openly gay, and you have been for a while, and you're a journalist. And so what is your opinion? And not that I can't suspect what it might be.
Well, first of all, please don't stereotype me. I am a gay man, and I'm a gay journalist. But don't stereotype me into you know, you think you know what it is I think. Because that is offensive.
Well, I'm not trying to be offensive. What I'm asking is, what do you think about this open display of homosexual affection on television?
I'm glad you said open display of homosexual affection, because most people are going to say it was an open display of homosexual behavior. And that is offensive, because that connotes that heterosexuals don't engage in behavior. They just have affectionate moments, but homosexuals have behavior. And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and so I want to make that clear, because I am gay. My readership knows that I'm gay, and I want to make clear to your listeners that I am gay. So the opinion I'm about to express might be a tough one for some people to hear, but I say it with great respect. I know that most straight people don't feel hatred toward gay people. I know that most straight people don't want to see gay people thrown in jail or any kind of thing like this. But unfortunately, Phil, I have to tell you that if Adam Lambert kissing the keyboard player last night on television, or simulating, and I thought it was a very playful moment, you know, simulating oral sex with another guy, if people were offended by that, or if they used this excuse, which I've gotten in my email today, oh, I don't mind, but there were children watching. I have to tell them that they are filled at a very subliminal, or maybe a deep, deep level, they're filled with hatred and rage toward gays. And deep down, really, deep down in their heart, we're nothing but a bunch of, you know, mincing fags. And,
all right, okay, the word there,
I'm sorry, but I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I'm trying to give people an insight into the attitude.
All right, but you're saying, Doug, that if anyone was offended by that, even though they are good people...
you know, the word good is very relative. If you're full of hate and rage toward gay people, you're not good. You may appear good, and you may mean well, but if you are... we're offended by that you are full of hatred, rage, and violence toward gays, and that's something we have to address. And
well, now, hold on, for if you don't mind. If I'm a guy watching TV, and I'm looking at Adam Lambert, and he lip-locks this guy, and it bothers me, or I have the kids in the room and I have to explain this to them and it makes me feel uncomfortable, I'm full of hate and rage.
What do you mean it bothers you? I don't understand what that means.
Well, suppose that if the children are there...
Now, right there, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. When you use the excuse, the children were there, that's... We know what that is. And I don't... It surprises me that in this day and age, 2009, people still use that, oh, it bothered, you know, I'm worried about the kids thing. Because everybody knows. Adults use that as a way of not having to explain their own hatred and violence.
No, but all right, let's just say I'm watching that and I don't, the Adam Lambert kiss with this guy bothered me. I'm full of hatred, violence, and rage.
Yeah, it's cocooned. It is in a cryogenic freeze. It's suspended animation, but it's there. The hatred and the rage toward gays is there. And I hate to have to say that, but that's really the final verdict. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. This isn't the opinion of Joy Brown or Dr. Laura, you know, what's her name, or any of these people. This is state-of-the-art opinion. And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Now, I got a number of emails.
What did people say?
Well, first of all, I want you to know, as a gay man and a gay journalist, I've got straight readers, you know, a lot of people follow me because I do an entertainment column, but I've got a lot of emails from people, and basically they're saying the following thing. Dear Doug, we know you are gay. We love reading your entertainment reviews in the Orange County Courier. However, the Adam Lambert kiss did trouble me, and I have a standard reply because I put all of the ones in one category who are troubled by the Adam Lambert kiss, and my standard reply is basically... I don't know if there is a psychiatrist or a psychologist with the skill to deal with the hatred and rage that you feel toward the homosexual community, but please deal with it before it boils over into outward violence, vicious assault. Thank you, Doug Dan.
And now, wait, you're getting, those letters that you're getting sound benign.
I guess you're not listening to what I'm saying, right?
I'm listening to what you're saying.
I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how benign someone feels. If they say, well, the Adam Lambert kiss bothers me, but gay people are okay with me, well, no, they're not. And so
if you get a letter from someone that says, boy, you know, Doug, we really like you, we know you're gay, and there's no problem with that, but we had a problem with the kiss.
But I send out the standard form letter toward the haters. And
the haters?
Phil, let me tell you something.
The haters.
Let me tell you something. I talked to my father this morning on the phone, and my father has accepted, or so he said, the fact that I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I said, Dad, did you see the Adam Lambert performance? He said, well, I saw the men on TV kissing. I said, that's the one. I said, what did you think? He said, I was a little bit uncomfortable with it. I said, to my father, my own father, I said, I'm sorry to hear that in your heart you harbor violent, murderous hate towards your own son, and I hung the phone up. Now, that was tough for me to do.
Are you, Doug, are you telling me that you are not going to go to your parents for dinner because your father said he was uncomfortable with the Adam Lambert kiss?
No, not because he said he was uncomfortable, because when you say you're uncomfortable, you are, in point of fact, filled with a murderous kind of rage. Now, look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Are you getting that? Are you feeling me, as the kids like to say?
Yeah, I get it. I understand that. I'm shocked and I'm stunned. Hold the line. That there are a lot of people who saw that, and perhaps it is a display, if you will, or what have you, that is new to a lot of people. Well, there's two guys kissing. Wow, I've never seen that before. Now, maybe to step over to the phone or step over to the computer and send an email is another level to that. But it's hard for me to believe that anybody who wasn't comfortable with the Adam Lambert performance is automatically filled with homophobia, hate, and rage. According to Doug Danger, who is our guest this evening, a gay man and a gay journalist for the Orange County Courier, our number is 877, forgive me, I haven't given the number out here, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. If you have any questions or comments for Doug Danger this evening, from the Orange County Courier, 877-876-PHIL. We'll continue on with the performance at the American Music Awards of Adam Lambert and the display of a gay affection on television and all of that. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Henry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We have Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. Doug is a respected entertainment writer. He is openly gay, and we're talking about the Adam Lambert performance at the American Music Awards. And Doug, to your point, and then we want to get to some phone calls from some of our listeners, to your point that if you were uncomfortable with the Adam Lambert kiss, you are full of murderous rage. You know, like you, even you admit that people who are uncomfortable with the kiss are probably good Americans.
You know, there are people who are going to say, I got no problem with gay people, I got no problem with this, that. Well, yes, they do. The difference is this, Phil. The hatred and the violence that they have in their heart for the eventual extermination of gays is...
Why do you say that, man? I mean, I just don't sense that.
Because that, I know it isn't conscious. It's subconscious. If you look at two men, no matter where it is, Phil, it could be out on the streets. It could be in schools. It could be at a gym, wherever. If you see two men, you know, engaged in a very, very deep, passionate kiss, and you're uncomfortable, you've got hatred that you've got to deal with before it explodes into something that only could be equaled by a Klan rally from the early 60s. I mean, that if you look at a Klan rally with a burning cross and hooded people in the hearts of the people Sunday night who are uncomfortable with Adam Lambert, that's what's dancing in their hearts. And I, you know, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And
dancing in their hearts is a Klan rally.
Yes, at the very deepest part. A little grandmother who wrote me a letter. She said, Doug, I love you. I got nothing against gay people. I'm uncomfortable. That little grandmother, that sweet little woman, in her soul is, well, a black man swinging from a tree.
And oh, my God. You know what, man? The hyperbole here.
It's not. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Hello.
But I think you're engaging in some kind of extreme hype, some sort of extreme talk here that I just don't think is suitable. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Tony. Tony, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Doug Danger. Go ahead, sir.
How you doing, Mr. Henry?
Very good, thank you.
Just because somebody's sexual preference is just one facet of their personality, and I think that the mock oral sex thing was in very bad taste, and it has nothing to do with the man's sexual preference. I'm not a hater. My wife's a cosmetologist. I know.
So you had no problem with the kiss. You had no problem with the kiss.
Not really, but I mean I really.
Oh, all right. So two men kissing does not bother you.
Well, it's not that it bothers me. I really didn't think the performance was all that great. I think it was.
No. You're evading my point. Did the kiss bother you or not?
Not really, but it
well, if you got to think about it, it did.
Well, the guy's saying it didn't.
No, but he's sitting there thinking, yeah, okay, that's an issue you have to deal with. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and the issue that we deal with every day as gay men and gay journalists, a gay man and gay insurance salesman, a gay man and gay car salesman, gay men and gay plumbers, or gay men and gay any profession. Is that people will say, oh, you're okay with me, I just didn't like the kiss. I know sooner or later those people are going to be coming for me, and they got to length of rope and a sturdy tree, you know? And
boy, oh boy. So you're saying that about your own father.
Yeah, my father who loves me someday is coming for me with a rope.
Good God!
You're a journalist for what newspaper? Because I don't see where you're
Orange
making
County,
that connection.
Orange County Courier. In Orange County,
they must be really hard on journalists because I don't know where you're making that leap of logic.
Well, you haven't. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. You haven't debated my point. You haven't debated my point. You say, well, yeah, maybe sort of. I don't know. You're frightened to come out and just say that the kiss bothered you to the point where someday you could see yourself kicking in the front door of a gay bar. And that's the thing that bothers me more.
But Doug, you're saying, thank you very much, sir, for your call, Tony. You're saying that people who were uncomfortable with a kiss have violence in their hearts.
How many times do I got to say it? Yeah.
Tara, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Tara, in Kansas.
Good evening. Thank you. I want to share with you that I feel very uncomfortable with kisses like that on television, whether it be a man and a man,
right,
a heterosexual or a homosexual. Number two, this gentleman is associating his sexual orientation, what he does behind closed doors, with who he is. He continues to say, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Who cares?
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Please excuse me
but
just
the reason,
for a moment.
The reason why I say that is because I know that when you say that you're uncomfortable with that, I know that you're a nice lady, but
excuse me, you didn't let me finish.
In the recesses of your mind, you're lighting the torch.
I want to share with you that I don't care what you do behind closed doors. And I don't think that we need to see the stuff on television, whether it be gay or heterosexual. And what I want to share with you is even though I don't think it's wrong, number one, in my profession that I deal with the public all the time, I'm not going to go ahead and discriminate against you. And people that go ahead, I think you harbor a lot of anger. I think you want to shove it down your throat.
I just know what's up. I just have a lot of resentment
towards your own father that perhaps
I
you're
just happen to know. I happen to know that if you were uncomfortable with two men kissing, what do you mean you're uncomfortable with a man and a woman kissing, too? Wow.
I think stuff like that does not need to be seen on television whatsoever, because I think that going ahead and exposing all of that does no good for anyone. And I turned off the TV show that night.
You're against straight sex, too.
Phil
Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. On is Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier as we continue to talk about the Adam Lambert performance at the American Music Awards, which showed Mr. Lambert performing and kissing at one point another man, a public display of gay affection, and in another instance they were simulating oral sex. I didn't see that one, Doug, that part of the clip.
Yeah, it was pretty benign. It was just two, one guy was on his knees, and I don't even know where they're getting oral sex out of it. I've seen many straight performers drop to their knees in front of the main performer almost as if they're in idol worship. This guy's mouth was open, and because of all the homophobia in this country, they automatically said, oh, it must be oral sex. See, that's what I mean. When you're looking for it, when you're looking for gay behavior, quote-unquote, that right there tells me that you are filled with the kind of murderous rage that only Adolf Hitler could admire.
Oh, come on, man. I mean, you said that your father, because your father was uncomfortable with that kiss.
Don't bring my family into it, Phil. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
No, I know, but you brought your father in. When you talked to your father and he said he was uncomfortable, you said, gee, Dad, I'm sorry you're filled with so much hate. I won't be to dinner.
Well, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. What do you want me to say? Oh, okay, Dad, I'm really happy with the fact that someday the hatred and violence in your heart will come boiling over, and they're going to find me in five separate shopping bags on a highway. Yeah, that's great, Dad. Thank you. Yes, I'll be to Thanksgiving dinner where there's going to be a lot of sharp knives. Jesus.
Are you kidding me?
Phil, I'm overstating it, but what I'm saying is, either you're comfortable with two men kissing, full, deep tongue kiss, or you're not.
And if you're not, then you are full of murderous, violent homophobia.
At a very subconscious level, yes. Right now, I can tell you're full of rage. I'm scared for my safety, but I'm still talking to you. And the reason why I'm talking to you is because I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. First of all, I don't get backed down by straight people that are angry. And secondly, you just don't scare me. But
you just said you were scared.
I'm saying that as a matter of making a point.
All right, 877-8, whatever that means, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Nita in Houston, Texas tonight. Nita, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Doug Danger. Go ahead, ma'am.
Yeah, I want to know if being gay makes you psychic as well. How do you see inside somebody's heart just because you're gay and know that they feel hate and all of that?
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Oh, wow, and you sound so angry and so happy at the same time.
Angry?
Anyway,
I just saw what happened on the TV, and it showed a lot of people with very murderous intent toward two men.
Yeah, you're psychic, right?
Lip-lock.
Anyway, also, on your birth certificate, did it say when the doctor slapped you on the butt that you were gay because you weren't born that way? Good night, off.
Oh, is she done?
Yeah, I think she hung up.
Oh, she hung up. Well, okay. But I'm not going to answer her, and I had a very good answer for her question, but I'm not going to answer her.
Well, did it?
I'm not going to answer that.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on to another phone call. Here is, the lady was a little upset, though, Doug, because you don't seem to be answering questions directly. Here is John in Wichita, Kansas. John, go ahead.
I'm answering the questions directly. People don't like the answer.
John, go ahead.
I have a question. What about the children? You know, what about the children? And, you know, I'm sitting in my living room trying to, you know, watch a TV show.
That's
and you guys are, you know, sucking
That's
face.
An excuse. You don't care about the children. That's an excuse. Everybody uses that as an excuse.
Really?
The fact is, yes. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Yes, really.
And you don't
Absolutely.
Do you care about the children?
Of course I do. More so than straight people do.
And so you care about
What does that mean?
I care more about kids than straight people do because I'll be honest with the kids and say I don't really care how you feel. This makes me feel uncomfortable. Makes me feel uncomfortable.
So, are you just going to, like, you know, go to your, you know, kids' school and start sucking some face, like, in the, you know, in the hallway?
Well, how do kids react when you do that?
Yeah. They're into it. They want to like me.
Look at that, man. I just, you know, dude, I tell you what. Go crank like Jeff and Jer. I think they're ready. There are young people who are gonna. There are people who are gonna understand what it is you're trying to say. But if you say I don't want to see this on TV because the kids are uncomfortable, well, the kids know you're lying. The kids know that you have hatred for gays, and they still love you. If they're straight kids, they're just gonna say my mom and dad are lying to me because they hate gays, and they'll move on with their lives and go out and play and throw a ball. If they're gay children. And you are uncomfortable with gays, then they're going to be thinking my mom and dad probably someday want to slit my throat. And
Are you serious?
Did I tell you I'm gay?
Yes, you told me you're gay. Are you telling me that a gay child, how old?
Whenever a kid realizes he's gay.
So a little gay child is going to hear his mother and father say, oh, look at those two men kissing, I don't like that, and he's going to fear for them slitting his throat in the middle of the night?
Yes, sooner or later, not right away. When the time is right. See, Phil, you need to understand. Are you gay? No. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I understand. I love it all these straight people telling me how gays think. They don't know. I just know that...
Well, you're telling straight people how they think. You're telling straight people, here's how you think. When you see a gay kiss on TV, you are full of... You don't like it. And
well, spit it out the right way, okay, Phil? If you're going to tell me what I'm saying, please say it the right way instead of... the way you're saying it.
I'm saying it the right way. You're saying that if people see a gay kiss on TV, they're uncomfortable with it. They're full of hate and rage toward gays.
Unless they're gay themselves. And a lot of gays are uncomfortable with it because politically they don't think it's helping the cause or some other really sissy thing, which I personally am not supportive of. But yeah.
And little children who may be gay and know that they're gay are going to look at that and say their mother and father hate them.
I didn't say that, did I?
Yes, you did.
No, I said they want to slit their throat. Now, that is a scary thought, yes. But that's the kind of fear we put into a gay child. When straight parents look at TV and they see a gay kiss and they go, oh, wow, that really makes me feel uncomfortable. I think I'll call ABC. And I call ABC or I go out and I start burning crosses. And
all right, but again, it's a subconscious thing.
Yeah, it's subconscious.
All right, 877-876...
problem. I'm explaining.
Well, you're saying that they want to go out and burn a cross, but it's subconscious.
It's subconscious. I'm speaking from the subconscious here. I'm a gay man, and I'm a
gay journalist. Yes, I understand.
Well, don't spit it out, Phil, like you're full of homophobia. I understand that you are on the side of your listeners.
No, I'm not necessarily on the side of my listeners. What I'm trying to understand here is your point of view with regard to this hate thing. Here's Whitney. Whitney, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Doug Danger. Go ahead, ma'am.
Okay, my question is, if people are offended by this kiss,
yep.
That means that they hate and want to murder homosexuals. What about the people
deep
that are
down,
offended by
deep
children
down.
Praying in school? Does that mean that we want to murder, that people want to murder these children?
Say that again, ma'am. I didn't quite get your thinking on that. If you're a prayer in school, is that what you're saying?
If people are offended by a gay kiss, and that means that we want to murder them because we have hate in our hearts, what about the
yes,
people that
yes.
are offended by children praying in school?
Well, that's got nothing to do with being, are they gay?
Well, it's a different issue.
Are you saying...
Are they gay?
Are they gay?
I'm a gay man. You hate that person.
You know I'm gay, right?
Very well, you're a gay journalist.
All right, well, so I'm saying that if you are offended by open expression of gay affection, deep down, way deep down, you someday want to drag a gay behind a Jeep, okay? But
oh, my God. You know, your imagery is getting more violent.
I mean, I'm sorry, but you had a really, really bad childhood. You are putting...
Bad childhood?
To a person. I don't hate the person.
Ma'am.
I might not agree.
Ma'am, you're talking about a bad childhood. I went through this last week at a local bar. What do you mean, bad childhood?
That's
a hoot and a half.
Why don't you answer the lady's... Answer the lady's question. Can you apply this kind of thinking, Doug, to other forms of prejudice?
Well, if you don't like a kid praying, but here's the thing. If you don't like a kid praying in school, that is good mental health. That's not bad mental health.
Are you a psychiatrist on mental health now?
Well, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Yes, I understand. You're a gay man and you're a gay journalist. That doesn't make you a psychologist. That doesn't make you psychic into what people think. You are saying that people hate people because of their sexuality.
Well, you can hear the hatred in your own voice, can't you?
The lady doesn't have hatred. She's asking questions.
I do not have hatred. I do not hate you whatsoever. I would want no harm to come to you in any way.
Every time I say that I'm gay, you get all persnickety.
No, because you've said it like probably 100 times since he brought you on the air.
Wait a minute. Are you a woman? You're a woman. I can tell you're a woman.
You're being a woman. Say, I'm a woman.
No.
Why do I have to tell that I'm a woman?
You are telling me. You are. By just being on the phone, I can tell you're a woman.
You're telling me you're a woman over and over.
What's the difference?
I'm saying I'm gay, and she's just being a woman. No difference.
Let's get back to the point.
If someone
is upset with prayer in school, are they a bigot?
No. No, they're not.
Why? That does not make any sense. It's so hypocritical.
No. It makes the same reason why it's okay not to like thievery or robbery.
Have you got your radio turned up? Whitney, do you have your radio turned up?
Yeah, she probably does. She's got a bunch of people in the car going to White Castle.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Take it easy.
He hates heterosexuals more than he thinks we hate homosexuals.
No, ma'am, I have no hate for heterosexuals at all. I love my parents. I'm just not going to Thanksgiving dinner. I don't want to go to Thanksgiving at their house because I don't want my father turning me over to the local posse comitatus so I can be dragged behind a Jeep.
Are you saying that your own father on Thanksgiving would turn you over to the local posse comitatus?
In his heart, he would. That's what he's thinking.
He is your father, and I love him. They disagree with things. They don't mean that they hate the person that does it. That's exactly right.
That's why I'm saying that if I don't like a kid praying in school, I'm totally normal.
But if you do, if you don't like...
What are you saying there, Porky? If you don't like a gay kissing, you are mentally ill. See? And really, what I'm trying to do here, as a gay man, as a gay journalist, and I've been trying to spread this philosophy, is I'm trying to let you know what is healthy thinking and what is unhealthy thinking.
A kid praying in school,
that is the social equivalent of a medical disease like bubonic plague.
I appreciate very much your call, Whitney. 877-876-PHIL. I want to apologize to people that are watching our video online. And I realize at times the audio to our phone calls is not available. That's not because we're having a technical problem. It's because there's a switch that I have to manually flip back and forth. And in that last segment, I just completely spaced. 877-877-PHIL. We have to take a break. We'll be back with more of your phone calls with Doug Danger as we talk about the Adam Lambert performance on the American Music Awards that included an openly expressed a moment of gay affection, a kiss between two men, simulated oral sex in the minds of some people. Doug Danger is on saying that if you were offended by that kiss, even though you're a good person, deep in your heart, you have nothing but hatred and rage toward gay people. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back to World Famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Now, why am I looking at Channel 4 right now putting perfectly good bud into a frying pan?
Oh, my God. They're taking the best buds and they're going to cook it up.
Is this some kind of stupid how to cook marijuana show? Get out of here, man. First of all, make it legal, then show us how to cook it.
Phil Henry.
877-876-PHIL. Doug Danger with us from the Orange County Courier. We're talking about Adam Lambert. And this young man, as you know, was an American Idol, I think. Is that right, Doug?
Yeah, I don't know. I think so. I think he was, yeah, he was American Idol. American Idol's ratings are down so much that as an entertainment writer, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, this is something I think about, other TV writers don't think about. It's a toss-up as to whether I want to write about American Idol anymore. It's become so passé and really irrelevant. But yeah, Adam Lambert was a winner on that contest.
All right, and the kiss that he, the gay kiss, this display of affection.
And again, I want to congratulate you, Phil. You're walking right up to the edge. And you're not jumping over.
By what? By not saying gay display of behavior?
Exactly. So I can't call you a homophobe. I want to. Not because I don't care about you. You're my friend. But you know you're a homophobe, don't you?
No, I don't know that, Doug. No, I really don't.
You don't?
No, I don't.
So if you saw that kiss on TV...
I would have said, wow, look at that. These guys are kissing. I probably would have laughed.
Well, see, laughter, that guy you're mocking... as if two gay guys look like a couple of weird asses kissing. So that to me...
You said that if, and I want to get to some phone calls, but you said that if your father said to you, and he did this morning, he was uncomfortable...
Let me put it to you easier.
Okay.
A friend of mine called me up last summer and said that he asked his mother, he said, you know, two teachers were thrown out of their school because they were kissing. They were doing a deep tongue kiss in the hallway. How do you feel about that? And his mother turned and started walking out to the driveway where they had a Jeep parked, a Jeep Wrangler, and she started warming it up. And he told me he was in fear for his life. He got out of there. And
meaning what?
Meaning that is a straight person's way of saying, you know what, you're pushing your luck. And when they go out to the driveway, they warm up a Jeep.
Like they're going to drag you behind the Jeep?
Like that's what he was afraid of, yeah. Exactly. If you're not comfortable with two teachers in our educational system who are there getting paid nothing, try to teach these straight kids and they decide that they want to share a kiss and people are not comfortable with that, that tells me something very profound. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. That tells me there's a lot of hate out there for gay teachers. Hatred that two gay teachers can't share a passionate kiss because they had a wonderful night together.
In a school? In a hallway?
In a school? In a hallway? Did you hear...
You don't have to mock me, Doug. You know what I'm saying.
No, but did you hear yourself? In a school? In a hallway? That, see, you sounded gay.
Doug, in a school? Even straight people kissing in front of children. Do you think that's good?
No, I don't. Because the kids have seen enough of that disgusting behavior. They've seen their parents having sex in front of them. And our children have seen enough straight sex. In a school? In a hallway?
So, what's the point here?
Well, it's when you got excited, you sounded stereotypically gay. And it's funny that you go into a gay persona as a fallback when you get shocked by gay behavior. That's the thing.
Oh, you just said behavior.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I can say that.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go over another phone call here on the line in Providence, Rhode Island. This is Mark. Mark, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Doug Danger. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I just want to say, I mean, he says,
he's a winner, loser. I mean, the guy's, I mean,
who?
His sales went
who
downhill.
Who?
Adam.
Hello? Oh, Adam,
hello?
Yeah, he was a runner-up. He was a runner-up, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, his sales went downhill with that performance.
So?
Hello?
So what? You mean for the performance Sunday night, his sales are going to go through the ceiling? People are hungry for that. People are hungry for affection. People are hungry for love. And when straight people call up ABC and go, oh, wow, two guys kiss, I don't like that, and their hatred begins to bubble over, almost like bubbling tar,
we've got a very serious problem. Yeah, you're here for talk show.
I don't understand. Did you put your teeth in, or what's going on, man?
Okay, sir, thank you for your comment. I thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Here is D. D, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to make a comment.
Hi,
D.
Hello?
Yes, I just wanted to make a comment. It sounds like he's full of anger.
No, not at all. You have to be angry to defend yourself against any straight that's going to attack you.
Well, no, you don't have to be angry. You have to be smart. But the thing
is that's true.
I mean, the thing is that, you know, I mean, I have family, I have friends that are gay, but I mean, I just told my nephew yesterday that, you know, you should always respect yourself and how you need to act.
Yeah, whatever.
And whether, you know, and now if I went to a gay bar and then wanted to complain about the way somebody was kissing each other, men, women, or whoever, then that's my fault. But if I'm,
Did you buy his album? Did you buy Adam Lambert's album? No, you didn't.
No, but I did hear a lot of it. No, listen to me. I did hear
There's a lot of homophobia out there. People do not buy his album.
Homophobia if they don't buy his album.
Exactly. There's hatred toward gays if they don't buy the Adam Lambert album. And that's
no, actually, I heard a lot of it, and it sounded really pretty good.
Phil Henry. Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Hello, I'm Doug Danger, and you're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show. I'm a gay man, and I'm a gay journalist.
You know, as an afterthought, in hindsight, after the performance happened, I was just really in the moment, to be honest with you. But
dear God, thank you for the turkey we're about to eat. And for the turkey farms where they pack
not allowed to buy incandescent light bulbs.
When
science is not
peer-reviewed.
It is him.
No.
Stuart, quit saying that. He's a racist. I hate him.
F you.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. This is where reality is our bitch each and every night. We're going to have a slate of fantastic holiday programming from the Phil Henry Show for you. Fantastic stuff to be checking out on your radio, on your video archives as well. And you can watch us at philhenryshow.com right now. That's right, I said watch us as well as listen to us, philhenryshow.com. You can watch the live video stream. You can listen to the live audio feed at philhenryshow.com. Still to come tonight, we have Art Griego. Art is a retired commercial pilot. He's going to be talking about the three airports. If I got this wrong, forgive me, but three airports shut down in Minnesota as the result of... three airlines shut down, excuse me, as the result of people waiting on the tarmac in that airplane. You probably recall that story. Google also apologizes for the racist image of Michelle Obama that comes up as the number one search when it comes to images of Michelle Obama. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL is the number here tonight. And we continue with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier on this rather explosive social political story about Adam Lambert. Adam Lambert, the young runner-up from the American Idol television show who went on to perform on the American Music Awards. And during that performance, there was a moment where he and the male keyboard player embraced and kissed, a rather passionate kiss. There was another moment where there was a simulated oral sex act between Lambert and another male performer. It prompted complaint phone calls and emails to ABC. As the result of that, Lambert was unbooked for an appearance on Good Morning America. His racy American music performance cost him a gig on Good Morning America, but, ABC said no. But CBS said, well, we have the same values as ABC, but this is an opportunity for us to capitalize. With us is Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. Doug is a, as he says, a gay man and a gay journalist, and we're discussing this. Doug, you had said that you feel anybody who's uncomfortable with an open expression of gay affection really is a homophobe, whether they like it or not.
That is absolutely. I think that's a very good way of putting it. Whether you like it or not, you are a homophobe, and you do have feelings of great, I want to say, violent rage that is being suppressed. And I wish people would get some kind of psychiatric treatment for this, because once they free up that hatred that is really, as I said, you know, when that friend of mine, when his mother went out to the driveway to warm up a Jeep, which is the straight person's way of saying to the gay person, there could easily be a rope tied to the back of this thing with your neck in a noose.
Is that some sort of code among gay people?
What do you mean code among gay people? So we don't have some special language we speak. Anybody, any normal human being, would, if you said to your mother and you were gay, Mom, what do you think about two teachers kissing who are of the same sex in front of students, and they said, I'm uncomfortable with that, and then they went out and warmed up a Jeep? That's not weird.
Well, I don't know. What if they don't own a Jeep?
You're missing my point.
Let me get back to this other question here. Just any public display, also the middle finger that he gave to the audience, what did that mean?
I basically was saying I'm a gay man and I'm a gay musician. That's what he was saying. I'm a gay man and a gay musician, and apparently you people are going to be uncomfortable with this. And much the same way as Klaus von Stauffenberg said, long live a free Germany before they shot him, that is Adam Lambert saying, I'm gay and I'm gay and I'm a gay musician, before people take him out and do whatever they're going to do to him, you know. I don't want to know. And again, this is in the heart of people. So I think that people's homophobia came out full force following this performance. And I'm shocked, and I'm a little bothered by the fact that some of your listeners don't seem to understand it. Some of your listeners and my own father.
Well, you said that your father, you are not going to be at dinner at your parents' house.
No, I will not be, no.
Even though your father accepts you as a gay person.
Well, that's what he says, but now when he tells me, let me ask your listeners this question. Here's the difference. If Bill O'Reilly and Glenn Beck got together on television and began a deep, passionate tongue kiss while groping each other, would that bother people? No, it wouldn't. Because people would think that's what straight guys do. That's how powerful O'Reilly and Beck are. But gays with no influence, like an Adam Lambert, it's the Jeep gets warmed up.
So, are you telling me that O'Reilly and Beck in this world of yours are gay?
Yes, if O'Reilly and Beck gave each other a long, deep tongue kiss and groped each other, okay, I'm talking about a butt squeeze, whatever, people would think, well, they're still straight because that's how powerful their image is.
And they wouldn't be turned off by it.
They wouldn't be turned off by it. So we don't have a lot of power in the gay community. If O'Reilly and Beck would come out, which I'm not saying they're gay, but if they did, that would give us power. But until then, every time we hear a Jeep start up...
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. Let's go to some phone calls. We've got people who are hanging on the line here. It's Jason in Nashville. Jason, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead. You're on with Doug Danger tonight.
Yeah, how's it going there, bud? Quick comment on the guy there. I just want to say what he's saying is completely going against what... I mean, I'm a straight man myself, but... You know, I've had experiences when I was younger when I have experimented with the same sex. And, you know, I just chose to go this way. And now what he's putting out there, what I hear him saying is that, you know, everybody is just supposed to, you know, conform to what the gay man or the gay woman would want them to be. And, you know, to just accept it when you know, right. We have to realize that this is a fairly new thing that everybody is just starting to...
Well, it's not new to you. It's not new to you. I mean, you've done it.
Yeah,
it's not new to you. You've done it. And so what I'm saying to you is, what's happened to you is that you're obviously gay. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. What do you do for a living?
I drive truck.
All right, you're a gay man and a gay truck driver. But you were so afraid of the hatred. You saw it when people were calling ABC and they said, man... This guy, Adam Lambert's off the hook. And so you know there's hatred out there for gays. That's why you won't say you're gay.
No, I do not, because what I do not live today, I do not live a gay lifestyle. I chose not to do that. That was an experimentation. And so I understand.
Yeah.
I understand completely.
You're still, don't you still make note of the phone numbers you see on the bathroom stall?
Well, Doug, I mean, that's a little personal.
Not just that. Don't you still write down some phone numbers you may see on a bathroom stall?
No, I sure don't. And, you know, I see them all the time, and obviously you know exactly what I see.
Are you tempted?
So,
are you tempted?
So what I see
are you tempted?
Because if I could do it any time I wanted to, and I don't want to. What I'm saying is I choose to live my life as a man that is married and with two children. So I have nothing against gay.
You get hot when you see a guy, right? Don't you get hot when you see a guy?
People's mind that has never experienced this, that does not know nothing about it, is you're putting
you're proving my point.
You know, and that's
this gentleman is saying.
No, you're proving my point, see? You are so frightened of having a rope tied around your neck and tied to the back of a Jeep.
Will you stop with that image, man? That is ridiculous.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm talking to a gay man and a gay truck driver. What are you? A straight man and a straight talk show host. Two against one. Oh! Looks
can
like
you
lose,
question?
Man. Go ahead.
Can I ask you a question? Have you ever been with a woman?
Never had any interest.
Okay, but have you? You didn't answer the question.
No, I haven't. Never had any interest. No.
Okay. Well, you know what?
From the time I was 9 years old until today, I've been a gay man and a gay journalist.
From the time you were nine years old, a gay journalist?
Yeah, I was writing since I was nine.
What you're saying is, since I've experienced one thing in my life, that makes me a gay man. So if somebody smokes one joint,
I'm questioning. Yeah, you're a drug addict for life. If you're a drug addict, you're an alcoholic for life. If you took one drink, you're still an alcoholic.
What you're saying.
Yeah. No. Ask AA. They'll tell you the same thing. Even if you take one drink and it turns you into like a violent raving lunatic.
I'm just trying to get the point over to you. What you're putting out here is
you're not listening to me towards
the gay movement. All you are is
a self-loathing gay truck driver, and I'm trying to give you pride. Be a proud gay driver. Drive that truck with pride. Paint it pink, man. But what I'm saying is, don't let these people drive you crazy. When you go to a rest stop and you see some cute kid, he's got on them tight shorts, you're thinking, man, I'd like to bag me a 13-year-old. But you can't do it, see?
That would be an underage child.
You know what? Obviously, your whole train of thought and your whole mind is way off what everybody else does. And you know, the whole gay rights movement, you're ruining it all right now from the people that have never experienced anything with any gay men or gay women. So what you're doing is putting a bad image of the gay man and gay woman out here to all these people that know nothing about it. And what you're putting out there
is a bad agenda to the gay rights movement
from what you're trying to do.
We're just two gay guys talking. And I'm trying to tell you that as long as you hate yourself for being a gay truck driver, then you're never going to send a message to the straight people.
I can drive your
moo cow creamers in my truck and be gay, and they'll still get there on time.
But you know what? Obviously.
Well, whatever, man.
Because what you're saying is, especially about the gay teachers kissing in school is terrible. Because I don't care if it's a man and a woman or anything. That is not tolerated in school. And I have two little children.
Did you watch Adam Lambert? And I don't care if it's a man or a woman or what it was.
I would be out there kicking their ass. I'm sorry for saying that on the show, but I'm very sorry. That's just not right.
Notice how you said you're going to go for their you-know-what. See, immediately, that's a gay thing. I'd like to do this to their...
All right. Okay. Thank you very much, sir, for your call. 877-876. Thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
We're going to take a break, Doug. Are you listening to what that man said and what other people are saying? 877-876-PHIL. I apologize, folks. That the Adam Lambert performance, you know...
Phil, what I'm hearing is you stumbling over your words. I heard that gay truck driver stumble over his words.
So you can't accept the fact that he might have had a homosexual experience, but he's not a homosexual.
Well,
Well, he sounds like he's repressed. And
well, what does that mean?
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? I came out 2 weeks ago, and it has been a long, hellish fight to express myself. You got a gay truck driver there. He pulls into a restaurant. He sees some boy there about 19, 20, tight little shorts, that thin little mustache that they got, the bald head, the whole look. And he's thinking, yeah, man, smooth as silk, you know. And yet he can't say nothing.
All right, I don't want to listen to you talking about it. Hold the line.
Should I hang up?
Don't hang up on him. I just don't want to listen to him talking about what that truck driver may see at a truck stop. 877-876-WHAT?
I didn't say truck stop. I said rest stop.
Hang up on him. Don't hang up. 877-876-PHIL is the number. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show talking about open displays of gay affection and the Adam Lambert appearance. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
I love you.
Phil Henry.
877-876-PHIL. Segment with Doug Danger here on the Adam Lambert performance. You're talking about open displays of gay affection, as we call it, being something that should be normal. And
well, you heard Adam Lambert. He said, how come two women get the kiss? When I looked at Britney Spears and Madonna do that kiss, that was acceptable because romantic liaisons between women have always been acceptable. Now, that's the hypocrisy that he was... Now, Adam Lambert's not too bright. He's not very eloquent. He's a great singer. But, you know, he's the last guy that you want speaking publicly on behalf of gay people. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And
you know, I want to ask you a question. Why, if you say you're a gay man and a gay journalist, what would a lesbian say?
Say I'm a lesbian.
But would she give her profession?
Not necessarily. Lesbian is a very formidable word. It sounds almost as if you're a part of a country. It sounds as if you're part of a bureaucracy, that there's an armed forces behind you. Say I'm a lesbian. It's also very redundant for a lot of lesbians. Say I'm a lesbian and I'm a professional golfer. I'm a lesbian, I'm a professional golfer. I'm a lesbian. About nine of them, and you finally get the one, I'm a lesbian and I'm a jet ski mechanic. I'm a lesbian, a professional golfer. I'm a lesbian, jet ski mechanic. It's not a lot.
Are you telling me that lesbians only do that kind of work?
I'm saying, no, I'm not. Boy, you're full of hate. You know that? I can tell that you're full of hate.
That's the same approach that people have taken with you. It's not fair, Doug. 877-876-PHIL. Take another phone call here on the line in Louisville is Lauren. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Doug Danger. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Doug.
Hello, Lauren.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question for Doug.
Yes, ma'am.
You
go ahead. I'm just Doug Danger.
You're a gay man, a gay journalist. Are you
gay
sure?
Gay man and a gay journalist.
Are you sure? Because you are showing so much hatred for gay people.
You never even would have thought of that word had I not said that the homophobes out there who didn't like the Adam Lambert kiss are full of hate and rage toward gays. And I've not said anything hateful toward straight people. Have I?
Yeah, you said you're great. You don't want to see your parents because your father said he was uncomfortable with a kiss.
I don't want to be dragged behind a Jeep.
I've been bisexual since I was 13 years old. I'm 21. My mother.
That's another way of saying lesbian. Yeah, that's another way of saying lesbian. Go ahead.
Don't tell her what she is.
My father has known since the day that I told him when I was 13. I told him I came out of the closet. And my dad's a very religious man. He went to a Presbyterian church. He did not really accept that kind of stuff, but my father loved me so much and accepted me for who I was. He was
because
a great man. I had no
because
fear of him.
Because you're bi. Because you're bi.
Yeah,
you said that you're a full-blown.
I had no fear whatsoever.
No, ma'am,
my father split my throat. Or my mother.
If you told him that you were full-blown, what would he have said?
What do you mean full-blown?
Meaning she's a full... If you said that to your father, instead of saying that you were bisexual, if you had told your father that you were full-bore, what would he have said?
What is full bore?
She knows what I'm talking about. My father's house, and he's met them, and he's liked them, and he's accepted them into my family.
Well, I don't want to get too personal, but I'll bet he did. Now
that is uncalled for.
She knows what I'm saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Sure.
What?
Yeah,
you know what? She's a diesel.
I've never even met a homophobe angry enough to say that they wanted to slit somebody's throat or drag somebody behind their seat.
They're not going to say that. They're going to think it. They're going to feel it. If you said to your father, "Dad, I'm full bore, okay, 10th gear," you know, in other words, I pitch fast.
Hey, I'm a lesbian.
I play fast. Did you say to your father you play fast pitch, yes or no?
What is fast pitch and full bore?
She knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Did you tell your father? You did. Did he warm up a Jeep?
All right. Okay. Thanks very much. 877-876-PHIL. I don't understand the lingo that's
Phil, I'm a gay man and a gay...
I know that you're a gay man and a gay... I don't understand the fast pitch team.
That's lesbian.
All right. 877-876-PHIL. Let me go over here to Andy on the Phil Henry Show. Andy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Doug Danger.
Hey, I appreciate it. Having some bad signal there for a second. I just wanted to say that I resent Doug's comments about how every man seems to be gay, but we're just self-loathing because we don't come to terms with it.
I didn't say that. I said that a truck driver said that at one time in his life, he went box lunch, okay? And I said, well, if you did, then that's something to think about, man.
No, you didn't say that something to think about it. You said that he was a gay truck driver and that he should embrace being gay and paying his truck fee.
He should, because
I feel offended for the gay
community. Why would you be offended? He had the gay experience. You didn't. He had the gay experience. You didn't. Or maybe you did.
Have you ever had a straight experience?
No.
Oh. Then how do you know you're really gay?
Well, let me ask you a question, man. Have you ever had a gay experience?
You know what?
Yeah.
I've met a lot of men.
See?
I'm not attracted to them.
I think you've had a gay experience, and that's okay.
Now, Doug...
If you wear felt angel wings, that's your thing, man. But I'm saying you have to deal with that sooner or later, because when those people start sending those phone calls into ABC saying they want to drag you behind a Jeep or they want to hang you upside down in a gas station, you know...
You're a little bit twisted in the way that you're viewing this.
Just come out of the closet. Just come out, Chris.
Music Awards,
Chris, come out.
To have
you'll be a lot happier
on the stage.
Come out. You'll be a lot happier.
Phil Henry.
Don't forget, you can watch The Phil Henry Show online at philhenryshow.com. Just go to our website, philhenryshow.com, and you can see a live streaming video of our show. You can also hear live streaming audio. We've been on with Doug Danger here this evening talking about the fallout from the appearance of Adam Lambert on the American Music Awards and the idea of public displays of gay affection, that is, men or women, same-sex kissing and showing affection in public. And is it time we get over it? Doug, I understand.
What do you think?
I think it's time we get over it. Yeah, I do.
All right, so you got no problem then with two dudes groping each other in a school hallway?
I got a problem.
See, right?
No, I got a problem with two straight people doing that in front of kids.
Well, that's a trick answer.
No, that's not a trick answer, man. I got a problem with that around children. Public sexual display or of affection, yeah, I got a problem with that, no matter the gender, no matter the orientation. I just feel that we should get over it. But by the same token, I've got a real hard time listening to you say that because people were uncomfortable, that means that they are filled with hate, violence, and rage against gays.
Look, Phil, tonight I talked to that one guy, Chris, and that other guy, that gay truck driver. Both of those guys are so petrified of coming out of the closet. They both claim to be straight, even though they've both done the do and the funky chicken too, right? And I'm saying that that's the kind of fear we're talking about. I'm not saying that people are filled with violence and hate and rage on a conscious level. I'm saying subconsciously they're warming up a Jeep. And when
you say warming up a Jeep, you keep going back to that being drugged behind a Jeep with a rope thing, and you accuse your own father of that.
Of course I accuse my own father of that. I love him.
All right, well, I don't know. Okay, 877.
Oh, well, you know, Phil, you blow off everything.
If you want me to investigate that comment, I can't, okay? It just doesn't make any sense to me. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Ava on the Phil Henry Show. Ava, go ahead. You're on with Doug Danger and Phil Henry.
Hi, thank you so much. I just have a quick question for Doug before I get started. I'm just curious, when you always refer to yourself, you call yourself a gay man and a gay journalist.
Right.
I'm curious.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Why do you say it twice? It's redundant.
No, I'm not. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Correct, but I'm just
There are five levels of gay. There is a gay man, there is a gay journalist. Those two represent gay. That's the third level. The fourth level is the all-encompassing gay, and the fifth level is gay man, gay journalist as a unit. So that is my identity. What do you, you think that's funny?
You're fabulous.
All right, well, how do you identify yourself? What are you?
I'm a 20-year-old female college student.
Well, that what happens next year? Then you're a 21-year-old female college? It keeps changing, see? What are you consistently?
What am I consistently? I'm consistently a female.
Well, that's boring. aren't you something?
What is the point? It just sounds redundant to me. No, I had to make a comment.
You know I'm gay, right?
I am aware you're gay. You make it abundantly clear.
All right.
That's
homophobic of you to say that. You could have said, yes, I am aware. You didn't have to add the homophobic, I'm abundantly clear.
I'm absolutely not homophobic. In fact, I'm
bisexual. Well, why were you angry?
You strike me as funny. Bisexual is interesting.
You chose to make love to a woman because you were angry at a man? Is that why you became bisexual?
I love men and I love women, but the thing is, I have a comment to make, and the comment is that because you're such a proud gay man and a gay journalist, I just don't understand why you make stereotypes that you make.
What stereotypes have I made?
You had a caller that called in that you referred to him as the gay trucker, and you were making comments about how the gays dress with their tight little shorts and little mustaches.
Right.
You're basically making a generalization that gay men all look a certain way.
Can I ask you a question? Do all lesbians wear cargo shorts with their keys on a chain? Yes.
No.
Is that a generalization? No. Is that a...
What do you mean, do all lesbians what?
I'm asking, she knows what I'm talking about. Where do you eat your lunch? You know full well that lesbians don't know how to dress. They wear lipstick and they wear boots. They don't know which way they want to go.
This lady's disagreeing with you.
I'm a gay man and a gay...
I know you're a gay man and a gay journalist. You're telling me that all lesbians wear cargo shorts with their...
You know, you stumble over more stuff, man. I'm going to ask this lady straight out, where do you eat your lunch?
Where do I eat my lunch?
Yeah, Box Canyon?
Panera Bread.
What? Do you eat your lunch at Box Canyon?
I don't understand your question.
Does the term Box Canyon mean anything to you?
I think that you're so insane. You're so rude.
I'm not rude. It's just that I'm trying to get people. That trucker said that he'd had a homosexual experience, and you're telling me that he's not necessarily homosexual.
That does not mean that he's necessarily homosexual.
Oh, hey, Phil, have you had a homosexual experience? Be honest.
When I was 8 years old.
I'm not talking about comparing the size of your you-know-what. I'm saying that you do it with a guy.
No.
Okay. Enough said. That trucker said that he got down on all fours.
No, he did not, man. No, he did not. He said that he'd had a gay experience.
If he had a gay experience, if it smells like a duck and it walks like a duck and it barks, it's a duck.
And it barks.
I mean, if it quacks.
I have something to say. Listen, human sexuality, I don't think, is black and white the way you seem to. I think that human sexuality is kind of on it's like a range. And I don't think that
anybody
falls neatly into a category. You know, people are different and unique. What?
Are you listening to this? This poor girl has been so beat up by the alternative weekly in her town that she reads, probably the Boston Phoenix or something like that. She doesn't know whether to flip or fall in it.
Listen.
What is this? What are you talking about, lady? The whole range of sexuality. Look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. You don't like me saying that because you don't know what you are.
I think you're insane.
Doug, the woman is trying to make a point.
She can't even tell me if she eats her lunch in Box Canyon. This lesbian took one sociology class at a liberal arts college, and she thinks she knows about sexuality because she took a sociology class at some commie college.
I do not.
Well, what are you like? All right.
I do not. I am not studying liberal arts at all. Actually, I'm studying to be a criminologist. But the point is,
that your
view is very skewed. I think your view is very skewed, and I honestly don't even think that it's real. I think you're a character. I don't even think like you may absolutely.
Yeah,
be
exactly.
Person, but I think you're.
That's what I think
like,
too. Are you putting on this attitude, Doug?
Okay, if you think that homophobia and people getting beaten to death because they're gay is funny, you go right ahead.
I never said that it was funny. I just think that.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're saying. That's exactly what you're saying.
Absolutely not.
No, you're trying to make this into a. No, you're trying to make it into a joke, Doug.
How about making it into a joke when I said to that gay trucker, if he had a homosexual experience, it sounds to me like he's gay, and this lady's all, well, I don't think you should this and that. Because she took a sociology class over at Susan B. Anthony College.
What you're saying is so outrageously appropriate for the reason that you are saying it in a way that is so just ridiculous.
I gotta cut through the horse dung, don't I? Don't I have to cut through all this attitude about people saying that one lady saying, are you against prayer in school? Well, then you must be a hypocrite. I'm saying, no, if you're against prayer in school, then you're thinking reasonably well. If you're against the public display of affection between two gay people, then you are not thinking reasonably well.
I'm not
well.
Against
what's
public
crazy
display
about
of
that?
Affection between two gay people.
I'm not, you
I
know,
think
I'm,
that
not, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I don't want to debate
with
a girl that just took her sociology class there at the community college. Thank you.
Oh, well, Doug.
No, I'm not. I'm done talking to, I'm done talking to Alice B. Toklas here. Thank you.
You're all right. It's unbelievable.
Really,
I'm
closed-minded, huh? He doesn't deal with me on a regular basis.
Yeah,
he's not gay.
You're
I
not,
am.
All right.
You didn't even say you're closed-minded. You just don't make sense. And that's fine.
I make sense to people that have walked the walk that I've walked.
You
ain't even been to Box Canyon.
You're a proud gay man, and then you go on to make stereotypes and make light of the fact there are a lot of gay people who struggle with their sexual identity. And it's just, I just
see
think
that whole struggle with your sexual identity thing, that's the result of straight people beating the crap out of us and telling us, no, you're straight. I got no confusion. If you do, you're still playing with guys and girls. You're still 13 years old emotionally.
I'm absolutely not 13,
like
10.
Yeah, no, you are. You're sexually stunted.
You know, Doug, you had all these big statements. You're sexually stunted.
She's sexually stunted. Thank you. Good night. The end. Dun, 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 dun.
And look at very, very good call tonight, Ava. I appreciate your call very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
877-877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Marie. You are very, what the word is, I don't know, dogmatic.
Dogmatic.
Anyway, Marie, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Doug Danger. Yeah, dogmatic.
Hi there.
Doesn't that sound like a robot dog to you, a dogmatic?
Will you let the lady talk, please? Go ahead, Marie.
Well, I just want to make pretty much the same point as I heard you make just a few minutes ago while I was on hold, is that if Adam Lambert would have acted in an oral sex kind of way with a female, I would have been offended by that, too. It had nothing to do with the gay part of it. It's just that those are things you don't do on public television where kids are watching. And just like the teachers, I have a daughter in school, and if guy and a girl were sticking their tongue down each other's throats,
right.
I would be offended by
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Exactly, Doug. That's her point.
Yeah, but was she offended by the two men kissing? Yeah. See, that's the one we're talking about.
By the way,
I didn't hear any women calling in and complaining about Adam Lambert dragging that one woman by the leg during part of his act. To me, that's the misogynist act of the century. Lambert, a gay man and a gay dancer, dragging a woman by a leg as if to say, when the gay men take over, you know, you're going to be hanging on a hook in a butcher shop.
Oh, boy, man.
You think I'm being extreme?
Yeah, I do. I absolutely do. Well, Maria, good point, and I agree with you as well. I think that I would have been offended had it been an act of straight oral simulation, however the hell we want to say it. I can't believe that we have to have terms for these things. I can't believe that we don't have broadcast executives in this country that understand that there are kids watching. I don't care if it's on pay-per-view. I don't care if it's on cable. I don't care if it's something that is exclusive to adults and is limited to adults. But when we know the children may be tuning in.
Hold on for a minute.
What?
Hold on for a minute. Hey. Okay, there, you got it. I'm blown away.
So I can't make a statement that...
Don't give a speech.
I don't care. You know, Phil, I'm a gay man and a gay...
Well, are you the only guy that can say anything about this?
Only guy that can say anything profound. I mean, you're saying...
I'm speaking as a straight man and a straight whatever you want to call me.
What? What does that mean, straight whatever you want to call me? You're a straight man and a straight... You're right, whatever I want to call you. I don't even know what it is you do. You're a talk show host, I know. But even that woman indicated she thought you were a little off. Do you hate bisexuals?
What?
Do you hate bisexuals?
No, I don't.
I do. You know why I hate bisexuals? Because they don't have the guts to come out and declare what they are. Now, that lady there with that whole fuzzy, oh, there's a whole, you heard what she said.
I think there's an entire, you know, span of sexual possibility.
You heard that, right?
Boy, you really are a wise ass, aren't you?
You heard what she said, though, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Bisexual people, people that claim they're bisexual, are the most gutless. Of all the sexual permutations and freaks that are out there. And she probably was speaking in defense of that one guy up there who's a mayor, who is a dude, but had a breast enhancement, wears skirts. Oh, man. I know what you're laughing at.
Just the way you put that, man, I know who you're talking about. One more phone call, and we'll take a break here. 877-876-PHIL. Walter, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, hey, Doug, how are you, my friend?
I'm very fine, thank you.
Question for you, because I'm still a little unclear about one thing before I get going here. Now, are you a gay man and a gay journalist?
Yes, I am. You're unclear
okay.
about that?
I'll make sure.
You must
I'll
be, sure you must be a little clear. Bit slow. You must be a little slow. I've been saying it all
make
night.
Sure we got that clear. Okay.
Get a load of this guy. He doesn't even know if I'm a gay man or a gay journalist. I've been saying it all night.
Are you a good journalist?
I'm the best. I'm the best there is.
And what do you base that on?
Look, what's your point, man? I'm not doing 20 questions here, okay? I write the books, you don't.
Okay. Well, I see.
Well, Doug, this is what the lady said when she said you were being rude, you know?
This guy's putting me through 20 questions. Just make your point.
Okay, here's my point. That right now, you have no data, first of all, to support anything that you've said, other than
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Only
your personal beliefs.
But
okay,
you don't
just
have
like
data. To
I have my own
yours.
Personal beliefs as well. So
no, you don't. You don't.
You don't
you're not gay.
Personal,
so you don't have any information
belief.
That I have. You don't have information.
I don't
I have,
proclaim. I don't proclaim to do that. You're the one that's proclaiming. Here's the second
you do.
Piece. I have.
Yes, you do. You're proclaiming that I don't have any data. You can't say that you don't have data on whether or not I have data. I'm a primary source. It's Journalism 101. I'm a gay man, gay journalist. Primary source. Look it up. Thank you.
And you came out. You
oh,
came
man.
Out when?
That
two
was easy.
Ago?
Score it. Score it.
You came out 2 weeks
score
ago?
It. Score it. With 20 questions.
Okay. Here's the second
Here
point.
Yeah.
Point is.
I just did it from the corner
Phil,
on you, man.
I'm
going
to go ahead and direct this to you, Phil, since Doug
yes,
is,
sir.
Going, is
go ahead.
Extremely
Please.
Rude with this.
Go ahead.
My point
yeah,
here
no,
is that when we have Adam Lambert on this on this TV
all
show.
Kinds of stuff, you know.
Doug, shut up, will you?
One of the things that Adam Lambert did that I think was an amazing marketing ploy that he did, and I have to commend him for this, is that what he did on air was solely based on shock value. There was no affection. There was no behavior.
Adam
knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah.
And that's exactly
no kidding.
What he did was he got listenership.
Yeah, no kidding.
He got viewership.
This guy thinks it's a newsflash?
He got
wow.
a lot. He's going to have a lot
really?
Of record sales as a result of it.
Hey, Phil, did you know the sun comes up in the east, too?
All right, what's your point?
My point is, of course
what's
he did it
point,
for
Doug?
The ratings. Of course he did it for the ratings. You think you're saying something nobody knows? Of course he did.
Well, you don't because you're making it a gay thing. It has nothing to do with gay or straight. It's totally based on shock value and marketing. There's nothing else to
no,
it.
It has everything to do with gay and straight. I'm going to be gay, and I'm going to get some ratings. See? Boy, this is the first time you shut up in the last 15 minutes. Well, I'm Doug Banger.
You know what? I'm hanging up on your ass.
Being,
how about
I'm
that?
I'm just being polite yeah. and allowing you to speak.
No, you're being very nice. That's a very good point you made there, sir. Danny, I appreciate it very much. We got a break.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Mississippi legislators have decided that they no longer want to be the redneck state. They no longer want to be the state that is known as the dogwood in the summertime. Y'all get on back down slave quarter. They don't want to be known as the place for the three civil rights workers and the whole thing there. They don't want to be known as the, you know, Arkadelphia and Philadelphia and, you know, ding, 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 ding. They don't want the image anymore of the guy with the rolled up tight white shirt and the, you know, those mirrored shades and the cowboy boot with one foot up on the fender, staring down a dirt road, you know, he's got the Confederate flag decal in the back, you know, while very, very, very nervous African-Americans walk along the street with their lunch buckets. Mississippi's come a long way. Mississippi, as a matter of fact, has decided to introduce what I consider to be some of the most forward-thinking, homeopathic, holistic, groovy, whole-earth, wheats and nuts kind of stuff you've ever heard in your life. They have decided to introduce a bill that would make it illegal for state-licensed restaurants to serve fat asses. That's right, you heard me right. Bill number 282, a copy of which you will find below. Oh, okay, thank you. Well, actually, I have the bill here, but the thing that is lacking in this bill is that it does not actually define what is obese, and that's what it says. It says obese. They have decided, and I will read, to wit, an act to prohibit certain food establishments, blah, 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 to any person who is obese, based on criteria prescribed by the State Department of Health to direct the department and prepare written materials that describe. So in other words, what they're saying is, we don't want any fat ass to serve food. We don't know what a fat ass is, so we're going to direct the Department of Health to come up with a set of criteria that defines what obese is. So that means a maitre d' in a restaurant. And, you know, we're assuming that some of the finer joints in Jackson have maitre d's. I'm going to assume that Jackson, Mississippi, I'm sure, you know, what do I know, folks? The capital of the state is Jackson, and they have the University of Mississippi there, so I'm going to assume that there are some of the finer joints in Jackson. There may be a maitre d' there, might even be a guy that has a French accent, for all I know. He might be standing there in some kind of a monkey costume. You know, he's got on a monkey suit, he's got on a high-starch tie, and he's got on the collar, and you walk in, and maybe your thighs are rubbing together. Maybe the corduroy is beginning to create sparks. And maybe he just says, I'm sorry, sir, but I'm afraid I can't serve you because your ass is too wide. How do you say to a man who walks in, or a woman, and maybe they've been a little too close to a waffle iron all their lives, I don't know. Maybe they like the odd flapjack. And they walk into the restaurant, and it's a nice place called Shea Jackass in downtown Jackson. And you go in, and he says, well, I can say, how are you this evening, sir?
Oh, beautiful.
You know, the cream cheese are just, well, I'm sorry, sir, but this restaurant's not able to serve you. You see, your ass is too wide. Maybe they've got a door, and if you can get through the door. Bill number 282 is the brainchild of three members of the state's House of Representatives, Republicans W.T. Mayall Jr. and John Reed, and Democrat Bobby Shoes. See, so that's bipartisan. The Republicans and the Democrats are getting together to keep fat people from eating. Isn't that great? I'm going to tell you something right now. If we find fat bodies by the side of the road, you guys are going to get looked up. Because it's one thing to say that we want to keep our people safe. But what if some of these fat folks, who knows, they may die of a heart attack because they couldn't get their...